Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 27. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And this is the week we talk about Starfest. Someone needed to do that. I didn't want to use the real music and get a suit or anything.
No, it's me. And that was so off-key, we couldn't possibly get sued for that.
That's true.
That could have been anything.
So. That's true. There you go. You were actually singing the theme to Charlotte's Web, but
that's right.
That's how it came out. Okay, what the heck? I have no idea what that is. This is not starting well, but it will be fun. So yeah, we'll be talking about what's coming up at Starfest this year. We're going to try to have some, be talking about it a little bit in the coming weeks, but this is like our episode all about it.
That's right, about the Woodstock for geeks.
Or the Colorado branch of Nerd Prom.
Yes.
And I say that in the most loving way humanly possible.
Absolutely. I've been going 8 years straight. I freaking love Starfest.
Exactly. This is going to be my fourth year straight. But before we get to that, we had some movies come out this last week.
We did. The number one movie in America currently, Roland Emmerich's latest attack on America, 10,000 BC, which made about $34 million over the weekend.
Which, if I may interject, Harry Knowles has been the most positive review I've read, and he said it was gloriously, quote, retarded.
Hmm. Not very PC, Harry. But
well, he went through and said, I don't mean like to make fun of people, but it makes your brain just kind of go, ah! So... If that's what you're looking for, knock yourself out.
I admittedly, I need to see it. I do want to see it. You know, guilty pleasures are guilty pleasures, and this looks like one.
That's dollar theater material right there, my friend.
Oh, big time, big time. Yes. And the one you saw, Jason Statham in The Bank Job.
Yes.
I'll see that in a second. College Road Trip with Rave and Simone. I thought this would be the number one movie of the week. I'm surprised that 10,000 BC.
That trailer looked so bad.
Yeah, but you know, it's a G-rated Martin Lawrence Disney movie. I thought, how could
again?
That miss? Point taken.
Just saying.
Okay. And then a limited release, the new Stephen Chow film, CJ7.
Which hasn't been getting the best of word, but
no, it hasn't.
I'm such a Stephen Chow fan. I got to see it.
Yeah, as a completist, you got to see it.
I have to. That and I need to see the, Royal Tramp movies and all that stuff. There's a bunch I got to catch up on from him. But I may be getting the 3-disc Korean out of print Uber edition of Shaolin Soccer soon. So,
Sweetness. How is Bank Job?
Bank Job is an interesting film. From the movie poster, from the first time I saw that, it looked like a movie that was trying to be a 70s flick. And I've not seen, you know, admittedly, I would say many, but the truth is any, British, like, crime gangster movies from the 70s. There was, like, tons of meetings in strip clubs and naked all over the place. And as far as the heist itself, I thought it was great. It's not like Heat or something like that, where it's just turbocharged the whole way through. Some people found it boring. I thought it was pretty interesting. I thought Jason Statham absolutely shined in this film. And because he gets to be the guy who tries to cover and protect his people after the heist gets over and they find certain things, and I don't want to ruin it, but yeah, it's interesting. It's quote-unquote based on events. However, since they never officially solved the crime, you don't know what happened. So it's a dramatization type thing, but I enjoyed it. It's a good time. It's not going to be a top 10 flick or anything like that, but it's fun and worth checking out. And incidentally, last night I started watching part of the Hot Fuzz commentary with Edgar Wright and Quentin Tarantino, and they happened to be talking about 70s heist British flicks and how they'd always meet in seedy places like strip bars. So I'm like, okay, this is exactly what this movie is then.
So good heist, lots of nudity.
Yeah.
For some, that's really all they need.
Exactly, Vicar. Although, you know, and there's one spot where Statham gets to kick some ass.
Cool.
It was awesome. Yeah, he just beats a dude down and it's fun to watch.
Now, does he have hair in this movie?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, they bald spot and all.
Wow, so this is a real acting stretch for Mr. Statham.
Yes, as opposed to, you know, In the Name of the King. Sorry, I've watched like 5 minutes of it so far, and yeah.
You know, he did it, he deserved it, okay. He's done great movies, but unfortunately he's done some bad ones. Hopefully there'll be more movies like Bank Job in his future.
Yes, or Transporter. I hope Transporter 3 is better than 2.
Yes, or 1, but...
1 was fun.
It was stupid, but
it was fun.
Sometimes
you would just want to watch a guy beat people up, and that was a great movie for it.
Or slide around naked on an oil slick.
And who hasn't... Never mind. Let's go ahead and talk about what DVDs are hitting on Tuesday.
Next week in DVD, you've got the Best Picture winner of 2007, No Country for Old Men, the latest by the Coen brothers. August Rush, thankfully, did not win any Academy Awards. Thank you, Academy. B-Movie, the Jerry Seinfeld disappointment, which is available in one disc with a 2-disc special edition. Tin Man, the Sci-Fi Channel miniseries starring Richard Dreyfuss. Dan in Real Life, if you're Juliet Binoche, you got to choose between Dan Cook and Steve Carell. Poor
what
Juliet.
What has the world come to?
Sad, sad world. Emma Roberts, and one of my guilty pleasures of last year, Nancy Drew, give it a shot. It's not that bad. A movie that thankfully will not spawn any franchises, Hitman, available in regular and unrated. Boo, Hitman.
I'll get to that in a minute.
And then Sam and Max, Freelance Police.
Yes, Fox TV, Fox Kids TV ruled back in the day.
Yes,
you had that,
did.
You had Batman. It was the goodness.
Yes.
So Hitman Unrated. Oh, man. This could have been a really cool movie. And you know what? I have to give Timothy Olyphant credit. He played this as well as he could. He just doesn't have the kind of just hard ass, you know, very, you know, strictly business type of look about him that the Hitman, that Agent 47 has, at least in the games. Granted, it's a video game. If you want to show no emotion, it's pretty easy to do. But still, it's pretty integral to the character. A lot of people, including myself, wanted Jason Statham because I think as far as like an actor and the action, he could have pulled this off beautifully. Sometimes you just run into the fact, you know, sometimes someone's just too short. And I think that honestly probably came into play. I can't tell you who I think actually could have pulled this off well, but there had to be someone. I was pretty disappointed in it. There were some portions where I got into it and had a good time. The lead,
Vinnie Jones.
Ooh,
I just thought of Vinnie Jones. Wouldn't that be
okay,
great?
Okay, we have a winner.
Yay!
We
ding,
have
ding,
a
ding,
winner.
Ding.
But the female lead in the film, I haven't seen the PG-13 cut. This was the unrated cut. She's like topless like for like a quarter of her scenes, which, you know, some people that's great, some people it's not. You hit a point, this was like the weekend of nudity for me apparently for some reason. I hit this point where I was just like, okay, I can handle some nudity here and there, but there hits a point where I'm like, come on, really? Do you gotta? Now I know most guys are going, what are you talking about? What is wrong with you?
No, but you're right, Dave. There's a fine line between nudity that's necessary or to a point where you feel like the actress is doctor.
Exactly, yes. And then there's like the nudity that's in Run, Fat Boy, Run, which is, you know, Dylan Moran, who played David in Shaun of the Dead. You see his butt a few times, and it's very funny. So, and it has one of the best blister scenes I've ever seen in my life. We'll get to that when it comes out. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Dear sweet importing of DVDs. That's all I can say. Yes. Have we got any other DVDs?
Or is that that's it for the DVDs this week.
Okay. Shall we talk some news then?
Let's.
We've got a lot of it. I think you got more stories than I do.
I got a few more. I'll get this one out of the way. This is the bad news, unfortunately.
The start of the bad news.
Let's start with the bad. Just because people are going to want to know what the heck they're going to do for the fourth one. Final Destination 4 is a go. They're filming it. New Line Cinema, of course, having been taken over by Warner Brothers, are going to continue to cannibalize the slate of New Line films, one of them.
So this is the point where we start wondering if ending the strike was really a good thing?
This is the point where we wonder, like, how could they possibly go on with this stupid series? Well, here's the gist. Final Destination 4, which opens January of 2009, involves a race car crash. So basically,
Speed Racer?
Basically like an R-rated version of Speed Racer opens the movie, and the rest of the film, we get the usual Rube Goldberg-esque traps that people dying because they open a can opener or use a stapler. You know how these movies are. Yep.
Even Milton, excuse me, I think you have my stapler, but he's the killer, so... I did that a little more creepy. Shall I do my really bad news?
Please.
The Speed Racer trailer came out. And I'm sure this is doing favors for some people, just not for me.
Go away, Speed Racer, please.
I told you, this looks like a 3D movie that you'd see at the Luxor in Vegas.
Like I told you, I'll admit that I thought the second trailer was more promising than the original teaser that we
got.
That's
just because there's a monkey in it, and monkeys make everything better.
Chim Chim makes everything okay.
Yes.
But, you know, it looks like it's going to be fun on IMAX, just for the whole visceral thrill ride element of it. But this looks so cornball, like worse than the Flintstones movie, or worse than Flintstones Viva Rock Vegas.
Ooh,
yeah.
Dang.
That's, to me, it looks like that kind of level. And the dialogue is so terrible from the clips we've seen.
Yeah. This looks like a kid movie. Actually, the first thing that came out of my mouth after the trailer's finished was, oh, I didn't realize this was, Lava Girl and Shark Boy.
No, it does look that kind of, although I got to say, Lava Girl and Shark Boy wasn't bad.
Yes.
I don't know about Speed Racer, but.
I will give him this much credit. The CG in this trailer seems to have been cleaned up considerably.
Yes.
It looks, it has the same look, which you're going to have a problem with it or you're not. I do, but I will even admit it looks better. I just won't be seeing it. The second thing that out of my mouth was, I can't wait to ignore this movie. So, okay. Shall we move on?
Please. The Watchmen Pictures.
Oh, The Watchmen.
Looks great to me.
You know, the look is looking spot on.
Yes.
It's a matter
of, it's good point. How's the movie? But it looks fantastic.
I'm still wondering how you're going to fit this into a two and a half hour movie.
Yeah.
If they make it like 90 minutes, I'm going to be very upset.
And especially if they're going to give the whole pirate element, which was a subplot of a subplot in the movie, if they're going to give that some screen time, how the heck are they going to fit this all into one cohesive movie?
Exactly. I will say that the comedian looks freaky, as he should.
Yep.
Rorschach, oh my gosh.
Perfect. Night Owl, fantastic.
Yes. Yes, and Scarlet, oh gosh.
Silver.
Silk Spectre. My bad. Wow, it's been a while since I've read this book.
Yeah, Malin Ackerman looks fantastic in the outfit.
Yes, people. Yes. Yeah, most everyone have been like, "That's how you make a superhero costume."
That's right.
But it looks very promising. I hope they keep it as adult as the book was, because it really is a very mature book. I said last week the Judas Contract was the first adult story I read. This was the second.
Mm. Yeah, Matthew Good looks really creepy as Ozymandias. Yeah,
You know, much to my parents not knowing even to this day that I've even read this book, because they'd freak out. They'd be like, this is God. Yeah.
Well, they know now.
Yes, exactly. Oh, well.
Sorry, Mom.
Yeah, it's all good. Two-Face is going to be in The Dark Knight.
This is exciting.
Yes.
Aaron Eckhart, I thought this would be just a tease for the next one.
Well, I thought they'd be setting it up, and it's entirely possible they still may. All that he has said is that he has done scenes as Harvey Two-Face, and that's about it. But the fact that we get him, even I would love it if they set it up at the end, like we thought was going to happen with Spider-Man 3. The story is all about, you know, Sandman or whatever, and then we see Venom at the end.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I'm hoping for, because he also did say that Two-Face's story will be going into the next Star Trek. What? Next Batman movie. So, yeah, I haven't got Star Trek on the brain or anything. Yeah. So, yeah, that's looking very promising. Apparently, there are phone calls that if you went to, like, IBelieveInHarveyDent.com and you signed up, you get phone calls. I've left my work voicemail number on there, so we'll see if I have a voicemail when I get in tomorrow. Apparently, I will. And they're doing, like, the Dentmobile, like, running around and, like campaigning all over the country for Harvey Dent.
Oh, my gosh.
Guess where it's coming?
Really? We're getting it?
We're getting it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's hitting Boulder, Denver, and Colorado Springs, so.
I just think it's so funny that all these teens and geeks who like will not vote, but you know they're gonna like
they're
totally gonna be involved in the Harvey Dent for office campaign.
Are you kidding me? Absolutely, dude. I can't wait. Yes.
Well, I love that we're getting it. That'll be fun.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I can't wait. So, all right, I'll let you go ahead, sir.
Sure. Let's see. Liev Schreiber as Sabretooth. We got the first picture
with the mutton chops.
Yeah, got the whole Elvis thing going on.
I thought it doesn't look bad.
Not bad, but it hasn't exactly renewed my faith in what I thought was an odd casting choice in a movie I'm not all that excited to see, to tell you the truth.
Exactly. Now, if they put Ryan Reynolds in a Marvel Girl costume as Deadpool, then I'll be happy. But, you know, that's just an awful picture that would just scare people away from the movie. And
yes.
You know, if they do it well, I'll be behind it. I haven't lost faith, but I definitely have reservations still.
Yeah.
So how many of you got left? I got like two left.
Two.
Okay, cool. I'll go. Why don't you do another one? Because my last one's going to take like a half hour anyway.
Okay. Well, I'll save the biggest one for last. The Strangers, a film that got a lot of buzz at Comic-Con, starring Liv Tyler and Scott Speedman, a really disturbing-looking thriller. Has a real retro poster, really scary trailer, and for that matter, one of the scariest posters I've seen in a while. It was supposed to come out last October, got pushed all the way back, and it was supposed to open up this spring. But instead of looking at like it's going to go straight to video or like the studio has no faith in it, this thing is actually coming out. It's now a summer movie. It's now opening up mid-May. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's a real vote of confidence for its studio.
Iron Man counter-programming.
I'll say. And you know what? People who've seen it say it's seriously messed up and disturbing. And you know what? But at the same time, it's not a gore-drenched horror movie. It's very psychological. It kind of looks almost like a less independent, that's what I'm trying to think.
Okay.
Less independent version of Funny Games, something like that.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Oh yeah, and we'll get to that.
We'll get to Funny Games, yeah.
Oh yes, yes we will. Very quickly, because I haven't read the comic book, but all you Bone fans, you should be happy Warner Yay. Brothers is picking up the option apparently to make the movie, or cautiously happy. It's an indie comic book. It's not clear if it's going to be live action or CG, but we will just have to see what happens. Should be a good time, I hope.
Awesome.
I've heard lots of good stuff about it. I just haven't picked up any of the graphic novels. I need to. I've got too many graphic novels as it is. So, yes. All right, sir, your big one.
Big one. The Incredible Hulk trailer debuts on Wednesday on MTV.com. It's going to debut at about 5 o'clock Mountain Standard Time on MTV. Just as a trailer, but then on MTV.com for the rest of the night following that, following its premiere on television, it's going to be on the MTV.com website, and on Friday, for all two of you who are dying to see Doomsday, it's going to be in front of that.
Yes.
So,
because someone has to see Doomsday.
That's right. And you know what? I'm dying to see the Incredible Hulk trailer. I really want to know if they're just holding out for a really terrific movie, or if there's a reason they've waited this long to give us a glimpse of this thing.
Once again, Meet Joe Black Bad?
I like Meet Joe
Black. I know. No, I'm talking about the situation. Where you see a movie just to see the trailer.
Oh, I got what you mean.
Yeah. I'll wait.
You know, I did sneak into Spiderwick just so I could see the Indiana Jones 4 trailer, so.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you just go hit the mall when there's no one there.
Yeah, no one there. Just open the door, synchronize your watches, look in, and then leave.
There you go. Okay, cool. Right on. All right, finally. I don't know how I did not talk about this last week. I have no idea. I talked about it endlessly on the Geek Label boards.
Yeah, yeah.
But apparently I missed it last week. I could have sworn we'd talked about it. Spaced, the glorious TV show that I can't stop talking about, and I'm sure everyone's sick of me talking about, is getting a release in the U.S. apparently in May. That makes me very happy. Because instead of just having
jaw-dropping.
Yeah, instead of having to host Spaced parties all the time and getting people psyched for it, like, I'll bring my laptop with me and we'll be watching Spaced up at Starfest, at least somewhat. This is really huge news. The thing that's unclear, it sounds like all the extras from the 3-disc Uber set that I have are not coming over.
Mm.
But we're getting it. The other thing that no one's talked about is if the music's going to have to be replaced or not.
Ooh.
And the music plays a huge part in this thing. Now, granted, you got David Holmes, you got Fatboy Slim, you have, you know, John Williams. I don't know how they got the Star Wars theme in the first place. But I don't know if they're going to have to replace all that or not. If they do, I still got my set.
That's tricky business, because that's one of the reasons I know they'd never release the Wonder Years on DVD, because of the music rights and whatnot.
And why Quantum Leap has stopped, come to a grinding halt pretty much, because they've had to swap music and no one's been happy about it.
Yeah, and you get the Elvis episode where he actually jumps into Elvis, and apparently there's some issues there. But I'm amazed, honestly. I never thought they'd release Spaced in the U.S., and I think once they do, I'm hoping the enthusiasm for the set will more or less put the kibosh on Mixed Space, as it were.
Yeah, but, oh yeah, that's the other part. That's the crappy news, is that Fox has officially optioned and commissioned McG to make Mixed Space, which Simon Pegg just recently put up a blog on his blog, talked about it, and he said, we picked a plot contrivance that's all sitcoms go through. Guy and a girl pretend to be a couple to get an apartment. You know, that's the kind of thing you'd expect to see in a sitcom. And then they deconstructed the entire sitcom from there. I can't see them trying to be that edgy again.
Yeah.
Now, granted, McG did make Chuck, but that's an original property and not something that was established brilliance and comedy fried gold.
Yeah, Spaced was terrific the first time. Maybe just be better off just running reruns of Space on PBS or the BBC or wherever.
Well, the problem is when they showed it on BBC America, they always have to edit it for content, we'll just say.
Yeah.
Usually for language. Yeah, well, shocker. Yeah, but we'll see. I'm happy that's getting a release. I hope that they do it right. Apparently, Simon Pegg and Jessica Stevenson have absolutely no input still on the Spaced remake, but they may be making some money off it, so who knows.
Do we have any commentaries on the DVD set, do you know?
I have no idea. They haven't released any of the extras yet.
But just that it's coming out in 2 months, that's incredible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the tentative date. I think the date ends up being like a Wednesday instead of a Tuesday, so it's very tentative. We'll see what happens with it. But I think that's all we got for news. Is that all you
got?
That's
it.
Cool. All right, we'll take a break, and then we will be back talking about some Starfest and the upcoming releases.
Sue Ellen Greenblatt is a real person, not an internet celebrity. So we've enlisted Billy Flynn and the Vicar to help her tell her story.
Geek Radio Daily gives me geeky news about movies, new DVD releases, even comics and gaming.
Geek Radio Daily makes me feel special.
Ah, yeah.
Womanly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episodes are just 15 minutes, perfect for my commute or for just geeking out while I'm at the office.
Mm. All in one concise love package.
Ooh, the package, baby.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that it's a daily cast, so I'm always in the loop.
Sometimes I listen to it out of the bath, put on little outfits.
It makes me want to invite all my friends over to show how refreshed I feel.
Mm, a slumber party, baby.
What? That's not what I said.
Get out the
chocolate mousse.
Duct tape.
Oh, get out of here, you freaks.
Geek Radio Daily. One 15-minute podcast provides 15% of the USDA recommended daily allowance of geeky goodness. Subscribe through iTunes or visit geekradiodaily.com.
They tap into your bloodstream like tiny little vampires. They hack into your nervous system like you were a walking computer network built just for them. They flood your body with chemicals that cause fear, paranoia, and psychotic rage. It's a disease that thinks. It's a disease that talks. And if you're lucky, you die before it becomes a disease that walks. On April Fool's Day, experience the horror thriller novel, Infected, the major hardcover release from number one bestselling author, Scott Sigler, creator of the free podcast novels, Earthcore, Ancestor, and Nocturnal. Available April 1st, online and in bookstores everywhere. Free audio chapters of Infected are available at scottsigler.com and infectednovel.com. The disease kills you slowly if the cure doesn't kill you first.
What? We have new commercials?
Dun, dun.
Yes. You know, in a sick way, that's what you've always wanted to see, one of those commercials for the insurance go for the Geek Radio Daily.
Yes.
That was just wrong, but glorious. Yes. So
good stuff.
We're going to be running that a bit more now that we're not sure what's going on with Geek Label Radio. Yeah, I don't know. You know as much as we do. So we're running that. And Infected, I actually listened to the first chapter of this, and it's like the prologue and the first chapter. It's really good. It's interesting. I'm now addicted to Podio Books. You can check out Infected and a whole bunch of other ones over at podiobooks.com. And yeah, it's good stuff. And it's, you know, if you want something to listen to just to waste some time, it's a great way to do it.
How do you spell Podio? Because I imagine like P-O-T-T-Y-O.
P-O-D for podcast.
Okay.
And then I-O.
Oh.
Podio Books.
That's almost too easy.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was like P-A-U. So I checked the link. Oh, okay. Yeah. That's easy. So yeah, well worth checking out. It's good stuff out there. Stuff from Merle Lafferty, from P.G. Holyfield, all those guys. They're all great.
Excellent.
Cool. Some of them. Okay. One last thing. Like Scott Sigler's, his books tend to be, does all the voices. Some people will actually do full on like productions, getting people from different podcasts and stuff to do audio as well. Mm. So it's good stuff.
Nice.
All right. This week we're talking about Starfest. Yeah, you need to stop that.
Sorry.
I'm just saying. So, okay, you said you've been the past 8 years.
Yes.
This is going to be my fourth year in a row going. You know, shall we start talking about like what we've seen in the past?
Sure.
At these things? Usually it's all about the, like your biggest memories as you're a kid and stuff is the guests that you get to see.
Yeah.
I guess I'll start with one. Before the previous 3 years, I'd been when I was in high school. So we're talking a good 10, almost 15 years ago. Good Lord, I'm old. Okay. But they had Wayne Knight, because Jurassic Park had just come out.
Cool.
Or was getting ready to come out. They had Majel Barrett Roddenberry, and they had Q.
Mr. Delancey.
Yes.
Wow.
And he was one of the most entertaining people I've ever seen in my life. He kind of comes off as an ass, but an entertaining one. Like you know, this is, you know, the way that it's set up is that you have the guest on the stage and you have two microphones set up that people can talk, go up to and ask questions for, you know, of the person. And this girl in like seriously like a 2 foot long mohawk that was rainbow colored came up to ask him a question, and he just looked at her, looked at the audience, looked at her, looked at the audience. Do you know where your children are right now? He was awesome. It's a great time. You know, it's a blast. So yeah, let's talk about who we've seen and what we've done and all that fun stuff. Yeah, because you got some fun stories.
Well, the first year I went there, it was just because I heard John Travolta was going to be there to promote Battlefield Earth. And this, of course, is before Battlefield Earth has the stigma it does now. But at the time, it sounded like a really big, promising, would-be sci-fi mega franchise that was about to launch. And it was a few months before the movie came out. He came, and I had the chance to ask him a question. I got up there and just said, thank you so much for coming. Out of all of the directors you work with, who have some of your favorites? And he went on to talk about John Woo and Nora Ephron. And I just remember standing there talking, you know, just making eye contact, talking to John Travolta. I'm like, wow, I'm talking to John Travolta. I've been watching this guy since I was like an amoeba, and here I am having a conversation with him. It was just like this amazing moment. Like, oh my God. It was like, wow. Like, you know,
welcome back. Cotter reruns are popping back in my head.
He said, yeah, I'm doing like Grease and everything. Oh, it was so cool. So cool. And then I had the chance to go there it was like a month or two before Spider-Man came out. Tobey Maguire was there right before he just absolutely exploded. And that was so cool to see that. I was there when Christian Bale was there 1 year to promote Reign of Fire. The whole cast of Eight-Legged Freaks was there. That was actually a lot of fun. It turned out
That'd
to
be cool.
It turned out to be a lot more entertaining than the movie, ironically enough. And then, of course, the entire cast of Star Trek, almost, except for Willem Dafoe and James Doohan. I got to see William Shatner, Nimoy, T'Kai, Nichelle Nichols, and Walter Koenig, and they were all fantastic. And then, of course, the new Star Trek, Marina Sirtis, Michael Dorn, Kate Mulgrew, and John Delancey. And I got to see Mulgrew and Delancey actually do a two-person play.
Very
which is
cool.
Really great. Yeah, yeah. So it's, yeah, of course, you know, I've yet to see Jerry Ryan, who I would who I would give a pinky finger to see right now. But yeah, it's always so much fun. It's so much fun, you know, to be able to interact with them and just to hear the really offbeat stories, and especially when they're in a especially unguarded mood, like William Shatner told this really bizarre story one year, and George Takei got very political one year, and like,
yeah, that was a couple years ago. Yes.
Yeah. It's like, I love it when they, you know, they don't say the pre-blurb stuff that they're ready to talk about. Yeah, Star Trek and season three, but they actually tell these really offbeat life stories, and thankfully I've had a chance to see that. And I'll never forget, I took my now wife Julia, who's then my girlfriend, to see Christian Bale, because she was a big Bale fan even back before Batman. And we remember just the poor guy being inundated with questions about Reign of Fire. Like, this one lady came up and said, how are dragons going to be portrayed in this film? You know, is this movie going to be righteous to the way the dragons need to be portrayed? I mean, this...
Wow, is that like asking how Italians are going to be portrayed in, like, The Godfather?
Or... Exactly. Okay, you know, gotcha. You know, she wanted to make sure that they were historically correct, you know, and that it wasn't going to offend, you know, dragon lovers everywhere.
Gotcha. So. Well, there is some merit to that question.
I have to say. Oh, yeah.
Here's one of the things I love about Starfest. Especially since you've been to Comic-Con, it's kind of like the frame of reference for most people. It's like, yeah, how does it relate to this, or like to the Creation Fest and the Creation Entertainment stuff or the Gen Con stuff or whatever? These are very intimate conventions. I mean, one year they had, Tasha Yar. Goodness, why can't I remember her name? Denise Crosby.
Crosby, yeah.
I was walking down a hall and I almost ran right into her, because you have the stars just kind of hanging out. You know, they'll be wherever they are, you know, and they like to mingle with the fans, not just behind, well, I'm not signing autographs right now, where you get to pay me X number of dollars, or, you know, taking pictures, which, you know, some people have a problem with that. I think it's just an evolution of the convention.
Sure.
Some places do it, some places don't. Whatever. But the cool thing is that people are very personable and very able to talk to. Some stars aren't there as long as others.
Yeah.
So there's not as much opportunity to truly try to interact with them, but I think it's great. It's a very intimate feeling all over.
Absolutely. As someone who's been to Comic-Con, and I'm saying this not just because I'm a Colorado native and I've been doing Starfest all these years, honestly, I prefer Starfest. Comic-Con is great. It is quite the experience, but it's kind of like going to your favorite store on like the day before Christmas to do shopping. It is just, it's so overwhelming. It is so jam-packed with people. It is very chaotic. If you haven't gone there before, it's a complete assault on your senses. You don't know what to do with yourself. But Starfest is laid back. It's so much fun. As you said, everybody is really, really just eager just to talk and just converse and be a part of this whole community of science fiction fans, movies, books, everything. And I think that just makes the world of difference. It's the difference between going to a crazy, crazy mall right before it's about to close, or the difference between going to a family reunion where you can't wait to see everybody.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's talk about, before we get to the guests, before we get to the panels, to Horror Fest, to Game Fest, all the stuff that's going to be going on, this is going to be a crazy freaking weekend. We're getting there like Friday afternoon before anything happens, just so we can try to get a little settled. Let's talk about some of the names that you're going to see. Let's start with this Master of Ceremonies.
Kevin Atkins, one of the coolest guys. He's been doing this since the 80s as the MC of the Starfest. Every year he comes out with truly, truly the worst jokes.
Oh, and he gets them from the internet. You know those awful ones?
Really, really bad jokes, but they're so wonderfully bad, wonderfully bad. And every year, he gets just a little crankier with everything. So it's just so much fun to watch him just a little year just go through this little slow burn that he endures every year. But he is honestly so much fun. He's like one of the most fun, laid-back MCs. It's kind of like having your crazy uncle oversee the entire thing.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. And he has some geek cred, too. He's done model building for NASA. He's developed some planetarium shows. He's done a lot of really cool stuff. So he truly is a geek, too.
And he's done some really cool panels, too. He did a panel where he was talking about the making of the effects for old 50s sci-fi film. I mean, he's a fun guy to talk to.
Absolutely. It's a blast. You know, if your MC isn't awesome, you're kind of hosed. And actually, you know, before we get on to Dave, we have to do a quick shout-out for Steven and Kathy, who put on this show year in and year out.
Yeah.
Even back when they were doing two shows a year, which was insane. I kind of miss it, but I totally understand.
It's, I wish I could have been there for that, to see that.
Yeah, and I think it was a StarCon was what I went to originally. And, you know, they did an interview with John Jackson over at Jonja.net, which I'll link to. And it really gives you a really interesting, unique perspective on what it goes into making an indie convention. It's awesome. It's a blast. Definitely check it out. They are the nicest people, and I don't know how they put on a good show that every year that tends to get better and better every time.
Yeah.
I just don't get it, but kudos to you guys.
Absolutely.
So probably the next longest running guest at Starfest is Dave McDonald.
Yes. Yes, writer for Starlog Magazine, who frequently does the Trailer Park panels showing all the various trailers that have just recently come out. Sometimes he shows some real scoops that have never been shown before, and sometimes he shows the trailers that we've seen. But it's just fun not only just to watch these trailers and get to get his info that he always throws out attached to them, but also just to hear the audience's reaction. You never know what people are going to think of some of these trailers. I remember one year there was a big round of applause for the Garfield trailer.
Like, what the really?
Heck? And I also remember Dave one time saying that the one trailer that I think he showed more than any other trailer was for this movie called Cherry 2000, this science fiction thriller that came out with Melanie Griffith back in the late 80s. And because the release date kept getting pushed back, it was 3 years straight they actually kept showing this trailer. But yeah, he's a wealth of knowledge. And not to sound redundant, I'll only say this one more time. But as you said, the thing is, everybody is so nice. They're so accommodating, so down to earth, and so much fun. You know, where the people running the show are really characters themselves. And that's one of the things that makes this so much fun.
Absolutely. And, you know, again, I like talking about geek cred. He has served as editor on Starlog, on Fangoria, on Comic Scene, Sci-Fi TV, the official Next Generation Star Trek, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager magazines. He's produced editions for Aliens, Terminator 2, Starship Troopers. I'm getting all this from the Starland website, so of course I'm cheating. But, I mean, the man has been in the business long enough to really know a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I have to give special props once again because he brought the opening 5 minutes of Scanner Darkly a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Which got us completely psyched. No one else in the room was happy.
Yeah.
But we were like, I got to see this thing.
That was awesome because, yeah, they showed the opening scenes of that movie and nobody really knew exactly what it was. And this was months and months before it was in theaters. He introduced it well, but he didn't exactly tell the audience what it was they were in for. And I think nobody in the audience was prepared for the violence and the animated nudity and the edginess of the material. And I think a lot of people were like, what is this? But Dave and I were like, yes,
I'm like,
awesome.
I cannot wait to see this thing now. And we were there opening night then. So yes, absolutely sweet. Shall we go on to the guests?
Yes.
The actual guests? Let's let's see here now. I'm pulling up the guest list right now. I'm going to be here just on Saturday. I'm just going to go through this because, wow, there's a lot. There are a lot of people here, and there are a couple more. We've got Zachary Quinto, otherwise known as Siler on Heroes, is going to be there on Saturday, which is amazing. I don't know how they pulled that one off.
Yeah.
Last year they had Odette Fair from Resident Evil Extinction. They always tend to have like some star from a really big movie coming up, which is extremely cool.
And this is big. This is the Star Trek film.
Yes.
Almost half a year before it comes out. Yeah. So this is a real scoop.
Over half a year because it's not coming out until 2009 now.
That's right.
So yeah, this is huge. I'm going to skip him and come back to him. You know, the past 3 years they've had Star Trek people there from the original series. It went William Shatner, George Takei, and then Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah.
And did you get to talk to Shatner at all? No, you didn't, because I didn't. Okay. So the first year, we always get a couple things signed. I have the Futurama disc that has Where No Fan Has Gone Before, and I have all three of their signatures. And I just got to say, thank you so much for doing Boston Legal, because this is in the first season. I'm like, this is like my favorite show. And he's like, well, thanks. And Stephanie went up and just gave him the thing to sign and walked away. Next year, we talked to George Takei, and he could not have been more accommodating.
Yeah, so nice.
You threw the Twilight Zone episode that no one's seen, except I've seen it now, too, but yeah.
Yes, yeah, I want to ask about The Intruder, the classic Twilight Zone episode. And he seemed so pleased to have a non-Trek question thrown at him, and it was so much fun to talk to him about that episode. Now, all of a sudden, he just threw out these anecdotes and the things that he remembered. And
absolutely, yes. And then last year, we had Leonard Nimoy, who we love to talk about. You Broke His Brain by...
I told him how much I loved that the film that he directed, Three Men and a Baby, and he was like, wow. Thank you.
I think. Yeah. So we have a blast with that. This year, they're bringing the glorious Nichelle Nichols recently in Heroes Season 2. It's like they're bringing all the Star Trek people, like George Takei in the end of Season 1, beginning of Season 2, and very good stuff. And, you know, they come up with the most interesting things. I didn't know she started her career as a singer and dancer for Duke Ellington.
Hmm.
I'm like, they bring these people who have such glorious careers beyond just Star Trek.
Right.
And, I mean, granted, she's, like, played a pivotal character in American history, period. I mean, TV, film, just history. Right. History, just breaking that color barrier in such a way. And I can't wait to talk to her.
She is such a sweetheart. I saw her a few years back the last time she was there, and she was actually there to promote Snow Dogs, of all things. And she was wonderful. And her stories are always so, as I've said before, so unguarded and so colorful and so entertaining.
Yes.
It's really something special whenever you see someone of her caliber just ruminate about life.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then to keep on with the Star Trek theme from Deep Space Nine, playing Kira Nerys. I don't know how I remember that. Major Cure. We have Nana Visitor
truly,
coming.
Truly a Trekker.
I am, and I didn't even like the series that much, but I remember that. Also, currently in the ABC Family original series Wildfire, Nana Visitor is coming. Apparently, she's done some Broadway, so she's going to be putting on a cabaret of sorts at the show.
And fantastic.
I think she's going to be there Saturday and Sunday.
I love it when they do that kind of stuff.
That's when they bring their own stuff. When they do something so separate and they bring that out to do. I mean, that's awesome. Nichelle Nichols, I forgot to mention, is going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So then we have from Stargate SG-1, the bad guy, the evil god known as Bael, the South African gentleman, Cliff Simon, will be joining us as well.
Terrific.
He's going to be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know, they were like keeping busy. You got SG-1. All we don't have is Battlestar Galactica, I think, of the big series.
Yeah.
Because we also have a Firefly representative. Adam Baldwin will be there, which is my personal happiness to see. I can't wait to meet him.
That's so awesome.
Yes, because the man's done so much. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And seriously, look at all these guests, and then you've got, you know, that's just the actors. You also have Ed Kramer, who no one knows that name probably, but the man's worked on so many movies. He's been a technical director on all three of the prequel Star Wars movies and Jurassic Park 2 and all kinds of stuff. I can't wait to hear what he has to say because the technical side is always fascinating.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to sci-fi. How do you do that? So, and then let's see, we have some authors. Kevin Dillmore, who's written some stuff for the Star Trek books. I think Christine Golden has as well, as is Dayton Ward. So yeah, we've got a lot of authors all over the place, and as well as whoever else comes out. There are two more guests possibly coming. One of them is so close to being confirmed that I would love to say his name, but I can't. I will give a hint. He has been in some Star Wars movies, and he's also played a deity. That's all I'm going to say. And then, I can't mention anything about the last one. Mostly just, I don't know. But yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Here's the thing. The guests are just one part of Starfest. I mean, you've got so much more to do, and I guess we need to get to that next. This is going to be a long episode, so I do apologize.
Yeah, sorry I'm so quiet. I'm just thinking like, oh, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I can't wait.
Like, yeah, it's so much fun. I can't wait. We're down to what, a little less than 40 days now?
Yes, we're right. As of right now, according to the Starland website, we are at 40 days on the dot.
40 days still.
As we'll mention a couple more times, you can get all the information, tickets, hotels, all that stuff at starland.com. Where do you want to go next? Do you want to talk about some panels and stuff?
Talk about the panels, yeah.
Or not even the panels, just the other events.
Sure.
Because there's also the Intergalactic Karaoke.
Ah, yes.
This is where I wanted to hear the story.
Absolutely. One of the years I went with my buddy Mike Mitchell, who big geek fan like myself, and we went. And Mike, the Intergalactic Karaoke is resided over by a bunch of angry Klingons. So you got some Klingons. I'm not even going to talk about the in-character issue. They're just Klingons, and they're there overseeing the entire karaoke. And my buddy Mike got up there and sang The Gambler. And at one point, he changed from the lyrics to, "We Jedis will teach you Klingons how to fight." And the Klingons were like, "Grah!" And Mike ran out of there like the Roadrunner. And and the next person got up and sang, and I kind of snuck back into the karaoke room a few minutes later, and we actually sat through the entire Intergalactic Karaoke presentation, and at the very end, they gave him an award for worst karaoke, Mike Mitchell, and they gave him this award that it was basically a little toilet bowl with the Klingon symbol sticking out of it.
Nice, and he still has it to this day, right?
To this day, that is a very proud trophy that Mike has, for pissing off the Klingons.
You know, there's something to be said about pissing off some Klingons.
Oh, yeah, and living to tell about it.
Yeah. Yes, well, there's that too, yes. Yeah. So that's always a good time. Oh, let me pull up this thing, because I think I accidentally closed it. Yeah, I did. Dang it, because there's so much going on. You have the Federation Ball, which one thing that needs to be noted, you don't have to have a costume to go to this.
That's right.
Usually that's our time when we kind of have some downtime.
That's right.
But yes, there's that, and it's pretty much like an all-night party, and I don't know if there's drinking or not. I think the bar's open.
I know. There's some you don't really even need to go to the Federation Ball to drink or whatever. Everybody is so – it's such a weird psychedelic experience anyway to like, you know, see like Klingons and Jawas like slow dance. It is such a surreal thing to witness. It's a lot of fun.
Yes, yes. And, you know, those are just some fun activities. There's also an area where they always do they always have a auction going on,
yeah,
going to different charities and whatever. And it's always really cool props and promotional merchandise from different movies and stuff. You have the giveaway room, which, you know, some years it's better than others, but dang it, there's always at least a few really, really cool things in there.
It's usually like Christmas in there. They've got little big posters, mini posters, sometimes hats and t-shirts from films that are coming out.
Got the Batman Begins pin. I've still got that at my desk at work.
I got this Mission Impossible 3 shirt and hat set that I got just because they were giving away. Yeah, it's just amazing stuff that you could just walk away from. We can't forget the costume contest, too.
Oh, yes.
That is an event unto itself.
It is. It is because, I mean... A lot of people, you know, will associate this with like cosplayers and stuff, where you just dress up as someone, and some people do a lot better job than others. I'll just leave it at that. Mm-hmm. But you see some of the most unique costumes at this costume contest. Last year, they had a gentleman who handmade a Chewbacca outfit.
Yeah.
Now, this wasn't like a burlap bag with like makeup or something. This looked like this. I haven't seen anything that looked this good ever in my life.
I don't want to know where he got all that fur, but yes, it looked incredibly, incredibly real. The first year I went, there was a girl dressed like the alien octopus blue opera singer from
the Diva.
The Fifth Element, the Diva, yeah. And she, it looked incredible, just incredible. Of course, then she took it a step further and actually lip-synced to that portion of the movie. And you get a lot of that. I mean, one year, like, everyone from Lord of the Rings got up and actually performed a scene from the movie.
Yeah, well, let's get to that.
Yes.
There are several portions of this. You have people who actually, you have different age categories, and the little kids are always adorable.
Adorable.
You can't help it. And then you start getting into the adult ones, and like last year we had a Lilu Dallas.
Yes.
An almost disturbingly accurate Lilu Dallas. But then there's also, I don't know how to put this, there's the group section where you have people who are grouped together who are dressed the same way.
Yeah.
And then you have essentially the performance art portion.
Yes.
Which sometimes is better than others. I'll be honest. You know, we're pushing Starfest. We can't wait to go. We officially endorse this thing and everything. But wow,
this is the fans' time to shine, and they obviously absolutely love it. And the audience loves it. The people love it. It's the costume contest is truly something to behold. It like the rest of the fest. It has so much character, and it is so charming. And you walk away smiling.
I remember when we had the lady who dressed up as Frodo and like recited part of
that's right
Lord of the Rings and. It was a bit much for me, but I mean, you can't help but appreciate and admire these people's devotion to getting these things done because they're done so well.
This is dedicated fandom, completely dedicated.
Absolutely, absolutely. Some people make up their own characters, and they still look pretty, pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes you know you have people making up a Darth Vader outfit that looks really good. I think the B9 Robot Club is going to be there again, and like I believe last year they were the ones who had like a fully functional R2 unit, and it looked cool.
Yeah, and a few years back they had like a 7-foot tall robot that could even get it all the way through the curtain. I mean, just incredible the stuff that walks on stage.
Yeah, and last year they brought a Robbie the robot from Lost in Space.
Yeah, amazing.
Yes, absolutely. See, we talk about this, and I want it to be like this weekend, you know, when we can actually do this. I can't wait. Josh is going to be up there. He's talking about coming up for all 3 days.
Awesome.
And I don't know if he's prepared for this because, you know, whereas like a show like Comic-Con really, really focuses on the spectacle, Starfest is one of those where it really does focus on the fans, and I really appreciate that personally. So shall we move on to some panels?
Because,
well, okay, I keep putting the panels off. There's more to do than just panels and guests and these activities. There are TV rooms all the time. This is pretty much a staple anywhere you have your anime room. They also have superhero theater. They've got the sci-fi room. They've got the Saturday morning cartoons. And then you have Horror Fest's whole thing, which we'll get to in a minute, too. It is impossible to see everything at this thing.
Yeah, you really have to go through the schedule and kind of pick and choose. Because really, on one hand, yeah, you can't see everything. But at the same time, if you've never seen the original Fantastic Four movie, or if you've never seen a certain cartoon on Saturday morning that is
or Superman the Musical.
Exactly. You can look at it and say, hey, you know, I've got some downtime here. I could catch, like, you know, all of this. And then, but still be in time to go to the autograph room. It's like there's always something to do. And they do a great job of setting this up. They set up a big screen with surround sound. It's just really, really comfortable. And, you know, you can walk in and out as you choose. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember a couple of years ago, we got up early, Steph and I did. And like, well, what do you want to do? Oh, they're showing the Clone Wars. So we watched that. And I just love that thing. And what did we watch last year? I forgot.
Dark Shadows?
Well, they're showing Dark Shadows first, but then we watched something else, and I don't remember what it was.
I can't remember, but whatever it was, we got sucked in. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time. We had a blast. So, I mean, you walk into one of those rooms, and it's just kind of, yeah, like you said, you get sucked in. All right, get to some panels. You have your anime panels and your anime room. I don't know how I spaced the anime room. That's kind of like a prerequisite for every kind of sci-fi convention ever. There's going to be a panel all about Adam's aliases, talking about Adam Baldwin and all the roles he's played. Because you pull up like his IMDb page, and holy crap.
It's quite the filmography.
Here's the scary part about Adam Baldwin. You look at him in Independence Day, you look at him in Firefly, which is, what, 10 years apart at least?
Yeah.
doesn't look like he's aged a day. It's amazing. Yeah. But he's freaking cool. We have the look at paranormal research and evidence analysis called Are We Alone? Which, you know, it's a very serious discussion, which is cool. I love it when people talk about things that in sci-fi and fantasy, some people will laugh at. But it actually is a legitimate, serious discussion that you get sucked in by every single time.
I believe we are not alone. I will not laugh. I will go and share my alien probe stories with my friends.
Dude. But the evidence and all that fun stuff, it's a blast to go through.
It's cool. They show like UFO footage and stories and government paranoia stories. I mean, truly, as you were saying before, it covers every kind of sci-fi geek there is.
Exactly. So if you're a geek of any sort, you will find something to do here. We've got the art show, which is always amazing. You got people doing original art. You also have the model show, which, I mean, there are people, I've been watching the forums, there are people who've been working like on different stuff for the better part of like a year or two, and I can't wait to see what these things look like.
Yeah, and the art room itself, where they actually show the various paintings, the models, the different lithographs that people worked on, are amazing. Just incredibly, incredibly talented artists and showing their wares, and it's just really impressive stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. Then, the reason I'm talking about all the panels is I've got the site in front of me so I can cheat. We've got Batleth 101. Yes, you learn how to fight with a Batleth. I'm hoping it's got foam tips at the end, because even a plastic one, someone's eye right out.
You know? Topped by a genuine Klingon. So this is you can't find this just anywhere else.
Exactly. And then here, you know, there's always cool. You have this stuff that like really gets you into character, shall we say? There is also a panel here talking about Battlestar Galactica costuming, like doing the uniforms and that kind of stuff. So it's like how to be a geek and how to do this stuff. You know, you see these people who I remember one year I saw a Borg. And the guy made his costume completely out of cash register parts. And it was amazing. And so when you have, you know, when you have the sharing of information and knowledge, it's absolutely awesome. I can't wait for this. There is the Brig, which means you can essentially pay to have someone thrown in jail. It's all for a good cause, though. So it's going to the Denver Zoo for their new Asian Tropics exhibit. All that fun stuff. There's a couple of Firefly ones. There's a trivia contest and an actual discussion, which it's Firefly. There's a shock. So, you know, looking through, I don't want to talk about absolutely everything.
Do they still have the Quidditch group? Because I remember last year they actually had a Quidditch room.
I believe that they're talking about it.
Okay.
Yes. And there are a bunch of fan clubs all over the place. In the main foyer, you have the 501st. You have several different groups all actually scattered all about Starfest. And the cool thing is, yes, there are groups devoted to different shows, but they're also very active in the community. And it's extremely cool.
If you're looking for a local fan club, they've got all these flyers. So you can really learn about every science fiction fan club in the Colorado area or any area.
You're going to be hunting for a Twilight Zone club.
I'm going to, if I don't find one, I will start one. Yes. A Rod Serling Appreciation Club. Yes.
There you go. And here's something very interesting. There actually is going to be a panel all about cyberbullying.
Neat.
Which is very cool. That's good. You know, it's something, as geeks, we tend to be more in tune with what's going on with technology and all that stuff. But it never hurts to have extra tools. So I think that's extremely cool. Let's see, Federation Ball, we already went there. I guess that's about it. Oh, how can we possibly miss talking about whose starship is it anyway? I believe that's what it's called. Whose ship is it anyway?
Right.
Is it Friday night?
I believe
Saturday
so.
Night.
Yeah.
Friday night. It's always an improv thing. It's hokey. It's goofy. It's so much fun.
Where else can you see sci-fi improv?
Yes, and it's a good time. Last year when they did the thing about all the different captains and they kept making fun of Captain Archer all over the place, and it was a blast. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, and every once in a while they actually get some of the guests involved too, so it's yes. You never know what to expect of these things. You're like, oh my gosh, that's Denise Crosby making fun of Tasha Yar.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. What a whore, or whatever. I forget what she said last year, but she was priceless in it. It's always gold. It's a good time. Let's see here now. Do we want to talk? I guess should we move on to Horror Fest now?
We should probably talk about the big room at the convention that we have dreams about.
Yeah, okay.
We should probably talk about this room.
Before we get to that, I actually want to cut you off. We'll get there. But, I mean, we're talking about, you know, I guess it's technically 2 days because it gets kicked off about 2 o'clock, about 5 o'clock on Friday and ends about 5 o'clock on Sunday. There's still two more like conventions going on. We'll talk about Game Fest first. This is a first year happening here. It's more than an actual gaming convention. It's going to be three different gaming tournaments. Friday night's going to be Guitar Hero 3, which I was going to do. I was like, I might be able to do this. Then I looked at the song list and said, yeah, about that. Raining Blood on Expert, it's not going to happen. I'm not that good. Tuesday night is Call of Duty 4. I mean, Saturday night. which is a blast. That's going to be a good time. And then Halo 3 is going to be on Sunday at some point. I say at night. I don't know what time they're going to be exactly as of right now. But Halo 3, so you're going to have a lot of team killing and death, destruction, and mayhem. And it should be a good time, unless awesome. I play Griffball, which would be, I might get in on that. So, yeah, that's something you can look up online. It looks like a heck of a lot of fun. Let's talk about Horror Fest, though. Dude. Really? With the singing?
I'm sorry, David. I can't help it.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not. It's Starfest.
Horror Fest. They've always got cool stuff.
I love Horror Fest. Some of the memories I have, I got to see Cabin Fever, one of the co-stars of Cabin Fever one year. The first time I ever saw it in the screening room, and it was so much fun. They always have the Rocky Horror Picture Show showings late Friday night with a very, very enthusiastic crowd. They do shout back at the screen, and they do the time warp. Yeah, it is... If you've never experienced Rocky Horror and you just want to get rid of your Rocky Horror virginity, this would be the place to do it. It's a safe and terrifying experience. Loved it. Costume contests are fantastic. I remember the first year I went there, I saw a girl who looked so much like Carrie White from the movie Carrie. I was seriously afraid of her.
They do their own separate costume contest?
They have their own costume
contest. Sweet, okay.
They do theme screenings. Like every year, like a few years ago, they did a werewolf screening or vampire screenings or Stephen King screenings. And they do like just different theme screenings every year. I'm not sure what this year's is, but every year it's so much fun.
Cool.
And I love the set they make. They do the trivia contests, which are basically just like a horror movie game show, which is so much fun. And then they also do makeup. The first year I went, my buddy Sandra Klein was working there. And I went in and she made me up look like a zombie, and it was so much fun. It was like Halloween in the middle of April.
Nice. And they have a giveaway room.
Yes.
And I mean, there's they have like their own wing of the hotel pretty much. It's like you hit the anime room, and from there you decide if you want to keep going or not.
It's great. It's like they've got this thing has conventions within conventions within conventions.
Absolutely. So on the 18th, that Friday night, which we'll be there, I don't know what we're doing interview wise because we're going to interview as many guests as we possibly can. Barry's friend Jeff is going to be joining us.
Yes.
He will be doing a bunch of write-ups for us. Josh is going to be covering it. We're going to be covering as much of this thing as we possibly can. We're bringing the whole podcasting rig for the interviews, but I'll also have the portable rig so we can do some stuff out on the floor, and it should be a good time. But Friday night, they're going to be doing a thing called Terror Tavern Charity, a charity event called Terror Tavern. Jonathan Tiersten's, who is...
Sleepaway Camp?
Yes, he played Ricky in the 80s slasher movie Sleepaway Camp. He has a band called 10 Tears. They'll be playing that night, and then they're also going to be doing a charity raffle of a horror-themed one with t-shirts and DVDs and autograph items, all kinds of stuff. And they're giving everything to the Diana Price Fish Cancer Foundation, which is extremely Excellent. Cool. They're going to be doing an entire indie film, horror film room. So they're going to have groups from all over the country. We've got companies from Minneapolis, company called Not For The Squeamish Films, Random Creature Face Films, and MJE Productions, which they're all going to have films that they're screening all over the weekend. There's another film coming out called Attitude for Destruction.
Yes.
We've seen the trailer for this. Zombie Farm didn't quite look like our bag. This looks like such a goofy...
It looks kind of like if those of you remember those 80 horror, like rock and roll, heavy metal horror movies like Trick or Treat or Rock and Roll Nightmare. This looks kind of like in the same vein. And vain being the word. And this looks like very, very bloody, very gory, lots of gratuitous nudity, and really the message that we've been hearing since the 50s that rock and roll is the devil's music. Well, apparently this is further proof of that. It looks like it's going to be so much fun.
And then sometimes it brings you back, too. So, that should be interesting. It looks like they're going to have like the entire cast there along with the director. And then there are some horror authors going to be there. Oh, goodness. I do apologize for butchering your name, but we've got Mario Acevedo. I think I might have gotten that close. Mm. But he's written all kinds of books. We've got Linda Hilburn, who has written her first novel called The Vampire Shrink, which is Excellent. Just a cool concept just by the title by itself. Yeah. Carrie Vaughn, both she and Mario have been there for the past, I don't know how many years, but they have always, every time I walk by them in the dealer room, which we'll get to soon, they've always been so friendly talking to fans and talking to anybody. And it looks like they just really have a good time being at these things. Hope to talk to them as well. And there is more to do, like I said, there's more to do than you can possibly keep track of. All the information for all of them is at starland.com. I feel like we're doing a telethon or something. We're not, but we're just doing the preview because I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm getting like really excited just talking about it. Every time you see Dealer Room, I just...
Yeah, we're 40 days out, but yet, you know, it still doesn't feel like we could have done this soon enough.
It can't come fast enough.
So let's talk about the Dealer Room.
The Dealer Room!
This is the reason why you bring as much... It's kind of like when you go to a poker game. You bring as much money as you're willing to lose, because no matter how much money you bring to Starfest, you'll find a way to spend it. Last year they had one guy who had all six of the Death Proof, I mean the Grindhouse posters.
Right.
Which if they have them again, I have like four or five people who are like, if they have them, buy them. So yeah, we'll have to see. I'll let you talk about what you like up there because there's so much to choose from.
Well, tying with the authors really quick, for those of you who are sci-fi writers or fantasy writers and you just need some advice, you want to know about getting an agent or published, or you just really want to get into the writing business and you're specifically a genre writer, they have genre authors who kind of like have this little role all to themselves who are so nice, so friendly. Even if you've never heard of them, never heard of their books, they're so friendly. They're more than willing to talk to you and give you advice, and they're there every single year. Okay, the deal room, this thing is the size of Walmart, essentially, and it's basically all these different tables. You've got everything from movie posters, magazines, DVDs that you can't find anywhere, VHS tapes you can't find anywhere, action figures.
Soundtracks.
Plate sets. Gosh, everything. Huge, monster, beautifully painted pictures.
Custom jewelry,
clothing,
autographs,
action figures, everything.
Yeah, it's just you mentioned action figures twice. That's supposed to be me doing
and
that.
More action figures and more action figures. It's just incredible the stuff they have. You just go, oh my gosh, I had that 20 years ago when I was a kid. Yes. And if you're looking for something specific, if they don't have it, they could probably find it for you.
I remember last year I picked up a Deadpool figure, Marvel Legends. I think it's Series 6. The one figure I wanted out of all of them, of course, that was the variant. And I walked in Friday night. I'm like, I got to ask. Have you got it? Yeah, I got it right here. And I bought it immediately. And that's all that I needed to buy the rest of the week, even though I did buy a Cherry Darling figure. But yes.
Yes. And if they don't have it, they could probably tell you how they can get it or where you can get it. Everybody's very accommodating, very cool.
Yes, yes. Like I said, bring as much money as you're willing to spend because – oh, dude.
But it's money well spent. I promise you, if you don't buy it when you have the chance, you'll go the whole rest of the year going, dang it, I wish I bought that when I had the chance, because otherwise you're going to have to go on eBay or someplace where you're going to have to pay like $100 more than you're willing to spend. They've got it here. I swear, they've got it. If you want it, they've got it.
Oh, the magazines that we went through last year. What did I get last year? The Evil Dead 3 preview?
Yeah, and CineFantastic from 1993. Yes.
Yeah, I got it for like 50 cents or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I loved it. I mean, this was before it was even called Army of Darkness, and it was so fun to go through that. You do have, I'll term it as aftermarket DVDs of things that you can't find anywhere. You
can't find anywhere for an excellent price. They've got out-of-print Laserdisc, out-of-print VHS tapes.
Oh, last year there was one table, and that guy had like their Laserdisc for $5 a piece, and I was shocked how many Criterions there were. I'm like, yeah. If I had a Laserdisc player. It's so good I don't have a Laserdisc player. So, yes, there is more stuff than you can shake a fist at.
And soundtracks. If you're dying to get soundtracks that are completely and utterly out of print, I know a guy who's there every year. He has them on DVD. On CD for an excellent price. Yeah.
Absolutely. And let's talk about the guest interaction really quick. We talked briefly about it, going up and when they're in the main events room, and you can ask them any questions. With a few exceptions, usually being the really big Star Trek actors who are there for like, part of a day or something, a lot of the guests end up just kind of hanging out at their area. Like last year they had Gil Gerard and Aaron Gray, and they were, Gil Gerard was just kind of hanging out at his table most of the weekend, just talking to anybody who came by, and it was a blast. You could just strike up a conversation, and instead of, I love your work, okay, bye. It's nice being able to have that kind of interaction.
Absolutely. Peter Mayhew, I remember, who played Chewbacca, he had the same thing, people just walking right up to him. I remember a couple years back where Lance Henriksen was actually signing for free posters of Alien versus Predator that he was there to promote, but he was willing to just talk to anybody and everybody who managed to get up to him. And yeah, you find stuff like that happening all the time. The people are just so accommodating. They know they are there to talk to the fans, and this thing is for the fans, and that's what they're there for.
Absolutely. And I we don't have the contest nailed down completely, but I think I can go ahead and talk about it now. We're going to be partnering with Starland.com, people who are putting on Starfest, and with Jonja.net, we're going to be giving away a copy of the Serenity Collector's Edition DVD, the two-disc set, which has some extended outtakes and all kinds of fun stuff on it, as well as an autograph ticket to be able to get it signed by Adam Baldwin. So there'll be details coming up here probably in the next week or two, and you'll also be able to sign up at the convention. Unfortunately, you have to come to the convention in order to get your prize, so that could kind of put the kibosh on a few people, but it's going to be a good time.
Join us. One of us.
Join us. Have we covered it pretty well?
Probably not. I'm sure there's like seven or eight things we're just forgetting to mention, but there's just so much to this freaking thing. Seriously, this is Disneyland for geeks. Those of you who are listening to us in Utah and Canada and Bangladesh and Eurasia, come. Seriously.
Absolutely. And
you have 40 days.
Yeah, there you go. We are thinking about, we're going to be posting a lot throughout the day. I don't know if we're going to do live show, if we're going to do a show every day or not. We'll kind of figure that out as we go along. But we'll be posting content throughout the entire weekend. We'll be wandering around and yeah, it's going to be a good time.
Yes.
It's going to be a blast. So let's go ahead and wrap this up, but let's talk about what's coming out in theaters this week and then we'll hit DVDs and get out of here.
Well, those of you who want to see the Incredible Hulk trailer, you can catch it in front of Doomsday. The one reason you want to see Doomsday opening this week. Very good movie that I had the privilege of catching. Dr. Seuss's Horton Hears a Who. Very good CGI family animated film. Very
so good. It was good?
It's very good. It's very, very good. I liked it. I think it's definitely of the caliber of a Pixar film. It's certainly better than a lot of DreamWorks animated films. And yeah, the best Dr. Seuss movie by far so far.
That's not saying a whole lot, but yeah, cool.
But it's definitely a step up. Definitely cool. A step. Very good film.
Very cool.
A movie that is... Why don't you just say it?
Just get it okay, over with.
Never Back Down.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so when I saw the bank job yesterday, they had this trailer. And they have this part, before they show the title, they say, never give up. And I wanted to yell in the theater. Again, sci-fi geeks, you'll appreciate this. Never surrender! Just because it just was such a cheesy trailer.
Because anybody would rather be watching Galaxy Quest than Never Back Down.
Yes.
And then finally, limited release, a very disturbing film, Michael Haneke's shot-for-shot remake of his 1997 thriller Funny Games with Naomi Watts and Tim Roth. That is also opening in limited release.
So we can talk about this next week, or we can talk about it now. I figured we should just talk about it now. What did you think?
Funny Games?
Yes.
Funny Games is one of the most disturbing movies I've seen in a very long time. It is, I can't say it's perfect, but it truly has haunted me. The performances are powerful and the suspense is very real, and it works as intellectual torture porn because all the violence is off screen. You hear the horrible things that happen, you don't see them, which makes it so much more disturbing.
Interesting.
The ultimate twist where you find out why these two teen killers are terrorizing this family, when you find out why they're doing it and the full scope of their plan, it is really upsetting stuff. But I got to say, the performances are amazing. The thing is, if you're willing to go along with a movie that is just all too happy to really screw with you, and this movie messes with you in some serious ways, if you're willing to take the ride, it is a very memorable film. But to say the least, it is not for all, because it's the stuff of nightmares, no question.
Okay, well, you called it intellectual torture porn. Is this along the lines? I mean, how would you compare it to like a Hostel or a Saw or something like that? Is it because it's a smarter movie that you say
yes,
that? Or, okay.
Yeah, and just because we're talking some really, really nasty, nasty stuff that happens. But again, you don't see any of it. You only see the aftermath of it and you hear it. And that's pretty much the point of the movie. The movie is trying to make a comment on violence in American movies, how these movies tend to incite our bloodlust, whether it's violence inflicted by the good guys or the bad guys, which is the one element of the movie that doesn't really work, because we're being essentially, you know, lectured about our taste in violence by the killers themselves, which is kind of like, you know, Hannibal Lecter, you know, shaking your fist at cannibalism, you know.
Okay, then.
So it's a little hypocritical in that sense. That's the one part of the movie I don't think especially works, but Naomi Watts is incredible. Michael Pitt, especially, is really, really terrific in this film.
The trailer was disturbing as all get out by itself.
Yeah, and the trailer doesn't even begin to do justice. It's just how much this movie messes with you. Everything from the sound effects. At a couple points in the movie, the killers actually break the fourth wall and talk directly to the audience. And as my brother reported, because he's seen the original, this is based on the final closing shot of the movie, you just want to look away from the screen because it's so disturbing.
Okay.
So anyway, yeah, if you're a big fan of like something like Cape Fear or the original Desperate Hours, then maybe this is for you. But yeah, I can't say I don't know when I'll see this again. I will see it again in my lifetime, but once...
Not in a big rush.
You know, my nightmares are set for the next 10 years. So
there we go. Yeah. Cool. All right, let's talk about what DVDs are hitting next week, and we'll get out of here.
All right, so next week on DVD, Battlestar Galactica Season 3. Excellent.
Find out who most of the rest of the Cylons are, just not the final one.
Yes. And then one of last year's real surprises, hit film Enchanted with Patrick Dempsey and the wonderful Amy Adams. Mixed bag, but otherwise a pretty terrific movie, Will Smith and I Am Legend, available in regular and 2-disc special edition. Up for Best Picture, I have no idea why. Atonement, don't see that. In fact, you'd be better off renting The Seeker, The Dark is Rising. Bionic Woman Volume 1, for all three of you who are big fans of the Bionic Woman remake that came out recently, here you go. Richard Kelly's Southland Tales. Wow, finally on DVD.
I'll be checking this out early for sure.
Yes.
I'll try to do a review of it.
I can't say it's perfect, but man, you have not seen anything like Southland Tales, and I personally can't wait to see it again. It's a crazy, crazy movie.
Very cool.
Movie with the worst title of all time, now one of the worst movies of all time, Love in the Time of Cholera. That's right.
Seriously, would you, why would you not change that title?
Seriously.
I'm just asking.
Like, well, they're amazed that this movie didn't make like $5. Love in the Time of Cholera. Justice League, The New Frontier, available in HD DVD.
Just for you, Mr. Flynn, it is coming. Just a reminder, because I'm sure you forgot. You haven't been marking the days down on your calendar or anything to get the HD goodness.
This is the swan song for HD DVD, ladies and gentlemen. Also, Ang Lee's Ice Storm, the Criterion Special Edition. Yes, thankfully. This is good stuff.
Yes.
And finally, my favorite baseball movie of all time, 8 Men Out, available in its 20th anniversary edition.
So, very cool. Okay, have you seen the alternate ending to I Am Legend yet by chance?
I have not, no.
Okay, they have it up at first showing. It's... I don't know what I think about it. It doesn't fix the problems with the movie.
Mm.
A lot of people like this alternate ending better. I don't know that I necessarily do. I'll have to have you check it out.
Okay,
Talk about it next week.
Yeah.
There were portions of it I liked. There were portions of it. I think that they'd combined the two endings, it would have been okay.
Mm.
But, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, so this wraps up our Starfest preview. We're probably going to be talking about it again in a few weeks again, getting ready for it, and... I guess we'll just wrap this bad boy up, I suppose. So if you have any questions, any comments, anything like that, you can shoot us an email. You can hit Dave, Barry, Josh, Ethan, podcast@screengeeks.com. And I guess until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
Take it easy.
When we woke up, we had these bodies.
Say it in Russian.
Then we woke up, we had these waddies.
Now say nuclear vessels.
No.